I'm Michael Redhill, and this is the prologue from my novel, Consolation. Late summer, the August air already cooling, and some of the migrators are beginning south. Hear the faint booming high up against windows before sunrise, pell-mell flight into sky-mirrored bank towers. Good men and women collect them and carry their stunned forms around in paper bags, try to revive them. Lost art of husbandry. By the time the sun is up, the reflected heat from the day before is already building again in glass surfaces. A man is standing by the lake shore at Hanlon Point Ferry Dock. Cicadas in the grass near the roadway, cars passing behind the hotel. The ferry rush hour is almost over at 8:15, and the Hanlon's Point Ferry is the least frequent of them all, as it takes passengers to a buggy, unkempt part of the Toronto Islands. But it is the most peaceful ride, ending close to wilderness. The Duchess. He sees it departing for the city from its island dock on the other side of the harbor. He stretches his arm out at eye level, like he once taught his daughters to do, and the ferry travels over the palm of his hand. At the kiosk beside the gate, he buys a coffee crisp, struggles with the wrapper. He hands it to a woman standing near him at the gate. "My fingers are useless," he tells her. She neatly tears the end of the package open. Such precision. Gives him the candy peeled like a fruit. "Arthritis?" "No," he says, "Lou Gehrig's." She makes a kissing noise and shakes her head. "That's awful." "I'm okay," he says, holding a hand up, warding off pity. "It's a beautiful morning and I'm eating a chocolate bar beside a pretty girl, one day at a time." She smiles for him. "Good for you." The docks are 240 feet out from the lake's original shoreline. Landfill pushed everything forward. Buildings erupted out of it like weeds. The city, walking on water. All aboard. The woman who helped him with the chocolate bar waits beside him, perhaps politely, as he gets on, but says nothing else to him. There are only 6 passengers, and except for him, they disappear into the cramped cabin on one side of the ferry, or go up front with their bikes or their blades slung over their shoulders. He stays on the deck, holding tight to the aft lash post, watching the city slide away. The foghorn's low animal bellow. The ship moves backwards through the murky water fouled with shoes and weeds and duck shit. This close to the skyline, an optical illusion. The dock recedes from the boat, but tiers of buildings ranging up behind the depot appear to push forward, looming over the buildings in front of them. The whole downtown clenching the water's edge in its fist. The lighthouse on Hanlon's Point has been there since 1808. It marks the beginning of the harbor, and in the days of true shipping, if the weather in the lake had been rough, the lighthouse signaled the promise of home. He can't see it from the rear of the ferry, but he can picture it in his mind. Yellow brick, rough, round walls. A lonesome building made for one person, a human outpost sending news of safety and arcs of light. A good job, he thinks, to be the man with that message. 5 minutes into the crossing, he unwraps a little ball of tin foil from an inside pocket and takes out 4 tiny blue pills. Sublingual Ativan, chemical name lorazepam, an artificial opiate. 4 pills is 20 milligrams, at least twice the normal dose. He puts them under his tongue and they dissolve into a sweet slurry, speeding into his blood through the cells under his tongue, the epithelia in his cheeks, his throat, up the main line to his brain, soothing and singing their mantra, "You are loved." He's taken this many before, and ridden the awesome settling of mind and soul all the way down into a sleep full of smiling women, bright fields, houses smelling of supper. Marianne is still at home, in bed. He can see the whole city now, a crystalline shape glowing on the shoreline where once had been nothing but forest and swamp, and after that, the fires of local tribes, the creaking forts of the French, the garrisons and dirt roads and yellow-bricked churches of the English and the Scots. It's only overwhelming if you try to take it all in at once, he thinks, if you try to see it whole. Otherwise, just a simple progression in time. Not that far away in the past at all, even. The mechanisms that make it seem to be are simple ones. Just a change in materials, a shift in fashion. This joyous well-being holds him. He doesn't mind that it's chemical. Everything is chemical. Happiness and desolation, fear of death, the little gaps between nerves where feeling leaps. He holds tight to the lash post and shimmies around to the front of it, drinking the moist air in ecstatic gulps. The vague slopings of the deck are transmitted to his brain as an optical illusion, the city pitching up gently and subsiding, up and down, his senses marvelously lulled. Water moving under the boat. Sky, city, blue-black lake, city, sky. The peaceful sound of water lapping the hull. He lets the swells help him forward and up. More air against him now, his thin windbreaker flapping, his mouth full of wind, the sound of a long, deep